Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
This is Terry Hanratty, a quarterback from the Super Bowl champion Pittsburgh Steelers, and also quarterback for the University of Notre Dame Fighting Irish. You are listening to the Total Sports Recall Podcast. Now here's your host, Harv Aronson.
You are listening to the Total Sports Recall Podcast, where you get sports from a different angle with a Pittsburgh twist. Welcome to Total Sports Recall. This is your host, Harv Aronson, and on this episode, my guest is a former National Football League player who's also an author, entrepreneur, inventor, and a reality TV star. My guest is Steve Wright, a 6'6", 285-pound offensive tackle who played 10 seasons for the Dallas Cowboys, Baltimore Ravens, Indianapolis Colts, and the Raiders. His career in the NFL spanned 129 games, of which he was a starter in 67 of those. A graduate of Wayzata High School and then the University of Northern Iowa, Steve went undrafted but signed with the Cowboys in 1981. His rookie season saw him on special teams and as a backup offensive tackle. The following year, in 1982, Dallas's starting right guard Kirk Peterson suffered an injury, and Steve Wright filled in and blocked for Tony Dorsett when the Hall of Fame running back from Pittsburgh ripped off a record 99-yard touchdown romp. In 1983, Steve was traded to the Colts, but the next season he moved to the USFL to play three seasons with the Michigan Panthers. Wearing jersey number 70, Wright scored a touchdown while playing the Denver Gold as he caught a pass from former NFL quarterback Bobby Hebert. As an inventor, Steve Wright is responsible for a company called Cloudburst, which was the first to provide sideline mist cooling for the NFL. Cloudburst also provided cooling for the 1996 Summer Olympics in Atlanta. Steve also had another cooling company, Mist & Cool, which sold its products from Home Depot, Lowe's, Costco, and Target. In August 2010, on the TV reality show Survivor, Steve Wright was a contestant, and after 30 days of competition, he was the 13th person voted off on the main game, and he was shipped off to Redemption Island. The next day, he was eliminated, but for those who watched the show, they may recall Steve having disagreements with Philip Shepard. Being the inventor he is, Steve Wright developed a rearward-facing toilet in 2022, and last year he had his book, Aggressively Human, published. Steve, I'd like to welcome you to Total Sports Recall, and I must say it's an honor to have you on the show, as I'm always thrilled to have professional athletes as my guests.
Holy smokes, Harv. That was amazing. That was the most thorough introduction I have heard, and it's an honor to be on Total Sports Recall with you. Thank you.
Well, I like doing my research, and I'm telling you, the first question I got to ask you, Steve, is I must ask you to explain this rearward toilet.
Okay. All right. So my wife and I traveled around the world. We hugged the equator mostly to stay warm. We left here, and we've got a nonprofit called Global Giving. And so we met our shipment down with the Peace Corps down in Tonga. Went from Tonga to Samoa, New Zealand, spent a couple of months in Australia, and then went up into Indonesia. And we're staying in Airbnbs this whole time. And so from Indonesia, then we went on to Sri Lanka and other places. But in all these Airbnbs and every place, you know, you use the restroom, especially up in Indonesia, they use the bathroom different there. It's a hole in the ground. You know, you hang on to something and you bend your knees and you make your deposit low. And so I started looking into this, like, this is pretty crazy. But, you know, there's got to be something to it. And then also staying in the Airbnbs, you didn't know which way the toilet paper was, you didn't know where the flusher was. And so my crazy mind said, well, why not try to implement what they're doing in Indonesia? The more I looked into it when I got back here to economically, there is no better way to make a full and complete release of everything you've got to do. Anytime you it's best to have your knee joints higher than your hip joints. Thus comes the squatty potty. If you've ever used a squatty potty, it's pretty magical to lift your knees high as you can, and then you actually lean over forward, put your chest on your knees, and there's zero pushing. It just flows.
Wow.
So that reduces hemorrhoids, that reduces constipation, it reduces all the laxatives that Americans take. The American toilet, most toilets are just level, and so your feet are flat, and that's why we're pretty unhealthy, especially in the bathroom.
Wow.
So I implemented this the squatty potty into the toilet. The more I thought about it, is why not have just in our travels, I'd see people in wheelchairs struggling to stand up and hang on to the toilet in the public bathrooms and the airport bathrooms, and struggling to turn around. And so my thing is just wheel right up to it. It's ADA compliant.
Wow.
Wheel up to it, slide onto it, do your thing, and slide back off. And also, too, with the growing size of people, weight, and then age and disabilities, I put handles on the tank so you can hang on to that to lower yourself down and lift yourself up. The toilet flush is right in front of you. The toilet paper, everything is right there instead of off to the side behind you. The squatty potty is, instead of having it just be a square where you put your feet on top of it, I've created ramps. So it's for a long-legged person to, a short-legged kid. Also, too, the toilet seat, instead of being about 3.5 inches of seating area all the way around, mine's like 4.5 inches. So it's created for a larger rear end.
That's cool.
Also, it helps cover, instead of a little kid's potty on top of it, a kid can sit on that without falling through. It's a really full, complete patent that I'm going to start pushing here. You know, right now I'm just working on the book and marketing and selling that. The writing was the fun part. Now I'm really working my tail off marketing and selling it. But then I'm really looking forward to going out. I've got about 30 different toilet manufacturers that I'm just looking to. I just had to get it out of my head. So I'm looking to either sell the patent or do a lease. I'm wide open. But that's where I called it the courtesy 180. You turn around 180 degrees and face the toilet, and it's unique.
That is unique. I mean, that sounds like that would be a big seller. That's just very creative. So you sent me some photos of your playing days, and one of them is your block against my hometown and my favorite team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. What do you remember playing against the Black and Gold? And from what I understand, you were telling me prior to this interview you had some story to tell about Pittsburgh?
Oh, no, it's just that my son lives there.
Okay.
It wasn't anything big and crazy. I had a son out of wedlock, and his mother and my son lived there and grew up there, and then he went to West Virginia.
Okay.
And he's out here now in Salt Lake City, and we got a great tight bond, and it started off a little unusual, and I explained the whole story in my book, Aggressively Human.
Okay.
It was, it was a son out of wedlock, and we've made the most of it, and we're very close, so it's all good. No, not really any juicier than that, though.
Did he play football as well?
He did. He played a little bit, but he got hurt a couple times. He broke a collarbone, he broke a finger another time. And then I'd go back there to watch him, and it kind of just made me ill to see people, I'd be with him, and they'd say, hey, you going to be like your dad?
I don't
want him to be like his dad.
Sure.
He'd do his own thing. And he just really got into doing the single sports, riding skateboards, and he's a big mountain climber now out in Salt Lake City with the mountain race. So Wasatch Mountains there. He's lived in those mountains of just getting into the backcountries, avalanche trained, and so he's doing his own thing. He didn't have the good time I did playing sports.
Yeah,
team sports. I'm a team sport guy.
Gotcha. Hey, well, another tie to Pittsburgh you have, Steve, is you block for Tony Dorsett's record-breaking 99-yard run. How vivid is that memory for you?
Yeah, I really break it down, the long version in the book, but the short version is I was a rookie with Dallas. We're playing in Minneapolis where I grew up. I had 35 tickets at the game. They were all sitting in the end zone, just terrible seats, about three rows up, right between the goalposts. I'm on the kickoff return team, and we fumble the ball on the half-yard line, and I'm just running off the field for the offense. And my offensive line coach meets me about halfway and says, "Hey, take right guard." The right guard, Kurt Peterson, couldn't get his shoe back on. And so now I'm just, white. It's just like I am scared to death. But it's just like I'm going into this war. It's the first Monday Night Football at the Metrodome. And I'm lining up in the end zone with Tony Dorsett and Drew Pearson and Danny White and all these guys. And I'm looking, and 15 feet away, 20 feet away are my parents and all my high school buddies and all my neighbors and relatives and everything else. We were lined up in that end zone. And the cool thing about it was 4 years earlier, I watched Dallas beat Minnesota on Drew Pearson's Hail Mary, famous Hail Mary catch. And I'm sitting in the stands, and it's freezing. And so between that time I watched Drew Pearson catch that ball, they tore that stadium down and they built the Metrodome. And so now I'm back there for the first Monday night game, and I'm instead of being in 10th grade, or I think it was probably 10th grade, watching Drew Pearson catch that ball and thinking it was the coolest thing ever, I'm now his teammate in the huddle. Mm-hmm. We're slapping five and huddled up together, and they called the run right up to center just to give Tony Dorsett just a couple of yards, just to give us a little breathing room because we're on the half-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a block on my guy, and just saw Tony's shoe fly by. And we got up and ran down there in the end zone with him. And I was in for one play in that game, and it went right into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
With Tony's shoes and the football with.
Well,
it was an experience of a lifetime. It was just amazing. It's just my luck, and I write about a lot of those things in my book.
Sure.
Just amazing opportunities that came my way, and I made the most of them. A lot of them were just charging through a door. That's how I got on Survivor. It's just, if there's an opportunity, you got to make the most of it and figure it out on the way.
Yeah. In 1991, Steve, you were awarded the Ed Block Courage Award. Can you provide our listeners your thoughts about that honor, and how did it come to be?
Yeah, I had torn my shoulder up the year before in Kansas City and rehabbed like crazy and started the next season with it repaired and had a great season. And then I just do a lot of volunteer work. I've always been big on that, sometimes a little bit too big. It's I have a hard time saying no. And once you get on these mailing lists, these call lists for different charities, I couldn't say no. And so I did a ton of charity work on Saturdays in the off season. And so between getting back and not really missing a whole lot and playing injured, I still had it all bandaged up and everything else and taped, and just to keep the thing secure for my last couple of years. And it's just kind of bothering me again. I've got the thing worked on again. But that was 1990. I had that operation.
Wow.
I came out of the blue. I couldn't imagine. Everybody gets banged up and injured, and a lot of guys are doing a ton of volunteer work, and I don't know how I got selected, and I feel super honored.
Mm-hmm.
They flew us back to Baltimore, I think it was, for a black tie deal, and Elway was representing the shows, and it was just a huge honor to be a part of that. So it was just, you know, from you come back from being injured and given time to, you know, the charities just doing volunteer work. So
sure.
I was super honored.
Well, Steve, I've read your motto is to leave people, places, and things better than you found them. That's a very commendable and a great philosophy. And with that, you worked with Global Giving, which donated sports equipment to children in 35 countries, which may be more at this time. Tell us about that and your philosophy about maintaining excellent physical and mental fitness.
Yeah, let's see. My wife is actually the one that introduced me to the Global Giving. She is on the board. It's based out of Milwaukee with a good friend of ours, Mark Rollison, who started this. And it's just everybody in their garage has got things that the kids have grown out of to get people to do drives. We do them at schools, and the kids would just love bringing all their old shoes, their soccer shoes, and everything else. And so we'd pack everything up and send it off. It's just keep just wanting the kids to keep, you know, a healthy lifestyle and move. And I think the motto is every kid deserves a chance to play. A lot of obese kids around the world, and they just don't, you know, you'll see videos of soccer balls that are really not, they're using a wadded up, you know, paper with tape around it to be the soccer ball. So super fun to be involved with getting that stuff out. And you know, about my conditioning, yeah, it's just, I've always been into, you know, eating right, what goes in the pie hole, making sure it's, you know, nutrition packed. You know, I stay away from snacking. Haven't had sugar really. I just don't even crave sugar anymore.
That's good.
Sugar in the means of, you know, chunks of cookies or something I used to love, or ice cream.
Yeah.
And thank goodness I married up. My wife Lizzie is just a really healthy eater and keeps our kitchen and refrigerator and everything, you know, with really clean food. Clean meaning, you know, it's just not a lot of dead carbs, you know, like bag of chips and things
sure.
like that. So it's really easy to stay on top of it, especially when your partner's into it as well.
Absolutely.
So we eat healthy, and I stop eating usually about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I start at 6 o'clock. And so you really don't, and if you're really looking to have nutritious meals, you just don't have time to snack. You know, we stop eating at 2, 3 o'clock, and I'm satiated for the rest of the night. We go to bed about 8 o'clock.
Wow.
We're pretty clean life.
Yeah.
Just, you know, drink a gallon of water a day over the course of the day, and stay super active. I was just on the beach doing a workout with a couple of my buddies.
Wow.
I'm actually heading back to the gym here now as soon as we're over. Yeah, just like really staying active. We got the surf season coming up here. We live right on the surf point in Malibu, and can't wait to get back out there. There's just no waves right now.
Wow.
But yeah, just like staying active. And, you know, if I stay active, my mind stays active. And we got rid of our TV 5 years ago. So when we took off on our trip to go around the world, we just decluttered our life and our house and everything else. We gave everything to Habitat for Humanity.
Excellent.
Including our television. So that's how, you know, I my wife and I wrote this book, Aggressively Human. I probably would have done that. I can't imagine if I was all tied up in TV. I got the patent. It took me 3 years to get the patent. That took a lot of going back and forth with engineers and everything else. And so your mind gets creative to do other things. We just, when we get into bed, we might flip on the laptop and watch. We were actually going to watch the explanation about ETFs and spider. It's just always looking to expand your mind and learn something new. And so physically, emotionally, we don't have any stress in our life, but we work on that.
Sure.
A lot of that is decluttering. We don't have any children. We don't have a pet. We're just doing our things, and we just design our life the way we want it. And we wake up every morning thankful and happy, and get a good night's sleep. And it makes life super pleasant. Keep all the stress out of it. Don't try to keep up with the Joneses, with the cars, or you know, anything else. We just live a really nice, simple, loving life.
There's nothing wrong with that. Speaking of your wife, Lizzie, you talked about the book Aggressively Human, and it focuses on your personal quest for healthy, well-adjusted life, which you just spoke about, and being a fully realized human being from a male perspective. In layman's terms, explain that to our listeners in short.
Well, for one, I don't know. I'm a big guy. I'm 6'6", you know, 240. And I don't know. I guess I kind of led with that because it's just everyone expects me to be this big, tough prick. I like nothing else than to connect with people that are considered low in society. It's treating all alike. It's not letting the politics. Mm-hmm. Politics. Everybody's just amped up. I was talking with my buddies this morning when we were working out. It's just everybody's amped up. They're ready to fight you at any moment.
Oh, man.
And that's not just men. That's women too. Ready yeah. to tell you to yeah. F off. You know, if you do something, you know, it's just that everybody's edgy.
Yeah.
And I think the book came out at a perfect time. And love talking about this. Not that I'm perfect, but
sure.
You park the aggression, and my wife doesn't want to see me aggressive on anybody, and I don't want to be there either.
Sure.
But it's also too good to know that it's there if I need it. Other than that, it's just trying to get along with everybody, and it's fun to diffuse angry people. And if I see somebody amped up about this or that, not get in the ditch and kick the dirt around with them, but try to lift them out of it. And I've been doing a ton of social media, and it's just like somebody will just throw out, you know, it's just some ugly stuff to me about politics or something. And it's so easy to throw back something ugly, and that's what they're looking for. But as soon as I throw something back that kind of mellows them out, like, okay, I hear you loud. I appreciate that you're for this candidate and everything else, but let's leave Facebook and Instagram to talk about what you're doing today or something, in a kind of a roundabout way, but it mellows them out. And that's kind of what I write about, some situations I got in just in my playing days. Guys helped my face, and I try to stay away from it, but if I had to defend myself, I would. I think that's kind of answering your question, but it's just working for a balanced life. There's no reason. We're all here for such a short time.
True.
Lift each other up, and it's just I call it the selfish act of giving. It's lifting somebody else up, getting somebody else that's looking like they're in a crummy, place mentally or emotionally, and saying a few words to them, and all of a sudden they lift their head up and they're smiling, and it's just, it makes me feel good.
Absolutely.
And it made them feel good.
Yeah, and it's a shame.
And anybody can do it. You can either be a prick to them, or you can be nice, and you're both going to feel good after a nice exchange.
Absolutely. It's a shame more people don't have that philosophy. The last question I'm going to ask you, Steve, is you have the opportunity.
The thing that I always do is I'm not trying to change the world.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to, be a good person and be the change you want to see.
Well, that's important.
Sorry to interrupt you there.
No, that's all right. Yes, I have one more question for you. You had the opportunity, of course, to play in the NFL, and you played along some great players. You've already mentioned a few. We mentioned Tony Dorsett, and I threw in Bo Jackson because I want to say that I admired him always for his amazing athletic ability. You got a chance to play with him, and I can still see it in my mind. The night, I think it was Monday Night Football, then Bo ran over Brian Bosworth, and it was November 30th, 1987, and I believe you were there. Were you in the game for that play, or did you watch from the sidelines? That's one of my favorite plays of all time.
If you watch Bo run him over, I'm the first one picking him up.
I'll have to go back and watch it. I mean,
I'm the first one there, and then when he, I'm trying to pull around the corner on an earlier play when he went for the 90 yards up into the tunnel.
Sure.
I was supposed to be out in front of him, but he just flies by us all. So we don't really get a chance to hit anybody. I'm pulling around trying to meet a linebacker, but Bo just flew by, everybody.
He was such an amazing athlete.
Yeah.
as far as Brian Bosworth goes, he never panned out as a great football player. But I'll tell you, I watched his movie Stone Cold, and that was actually a pretty good movie. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. Well, Steve, the final word on my show always goes to the guest. And so the mic is yours. You can tell our listeners what you're doing these days or projects you might be working on, where they can find you on the internet if it's possible. I know you stay away from social media. Anything else you'd like to add?
Let's see. Like I said earlier, the writing the book was the pleasant part. Right now I'm doing a lot of book signings at Barnes & Noble and really trying to push that. If anybody would like a book, one of my Aggressively Humans, if they go to writeauthor.com, you'll see my social media handles there. Also, you can buy the book on Amazon. There's a hot link there. But my Instagram and Facebook are on there. If you want to hit me on that, DM me, I can give you a really healthy discount. And I would personalize the book to you and mail it out of here. So
excellent.
On top of that, then marketing and selling the book is my total focus. I try not to have too many things on my plate. I'm just working out and selling my book and trying to love life. Not trying, enjoying life big time. Keeping the stress away.
Excellent, excellent. Well, this has been a great conversation, and I want to thank Steve Wright for taking time out of his busy schedule to pay Total Sports Recall a visit. It's been enlightening and entertaining. And, Steve, I'd like to wish you the best of luck in future endeavors, and you're welcome to come back on my show anytime you want.
Thank you, Harv. I'd do this anytime with you. You're enjoyable, you're easy, and love listening to the other podcasts that are on your Total Sports Recall. So thanks for having me on. I feel honored.
I appreciate it. And it's a wrap for another show on Total Sports Recall. And once again, I'd like to thank Steve Wright for being a guest, and it's been an honor to have him on. If you have any comments you'd like to add regarding this interview, please feel free to email me at totalsportsrecall@gmail.com. Total Sports Recall. You can find the show on the internet by searching by the name. Also, be sure to visit the official website where you will find a bio page for Steve Wright as well as the other guests that have appeared on the show. Feel free to hit me up at TotalSportsRecall@gmail.com. Next weekend brings another episode of Total Sports Recall, so be sure to return. For Steve Wright, this is Harv Aronson wishing everyone a wonderful week ahead.
The contents of this podcast do not represent the opinions of others and are solely the opinions of Harv Aronson based on his experience, knowledge, and research.
This program is being brought to you by NestEgg's 401k. The landscape for retirement has changed dramatically in the past decade. Now more than ever, business owners are looking for a 401k provider who can protect them from risk and make their company 401k easy to operate. Employees are looking for help with their personal finances from people they can trust, fiduciaries who don't sell products and don't get paid commissions. NestEgg's 401k can help. If you own a business and would like a review of your company 401k plan, or if you are an individual with greater than $500,000 in investable assets, NestEggs would be happy to conduct a fiduciary review of your circumstances and provide you advice at no cost. Call NestEggs today at 866-202-4646.